You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Okay. Well, awesome, you guys. I am going to pray and we are going to get started here. So, Father, I just thank you for part two of this series, Kingdom Economics. And I thank you, Father, that this is a right now word for the body of Christ and for every single person that is tuning in, whether that's live here in the Path to Purpose group or that will be listening to the podcast. I thank you, Father, that you have created us to rule and reign in righteousness with you. I thank you that we are seated in heavenly places right this very minute, which means we have access to all that heaven contains. And I thank you, Father, that from this place of elevation in Christ, I thank you that we can look down upon the seen realm. We can look down upon the material world, and we can govern with new creation eyes. We can govern with new creation truth, and we can govern with your heart and with your mind, and we can establish heaven on earth. I thank you, Father, that lack is just an illusion. I thank you that separation from you is always just an illusion. And so, Father, I just thank you that we are waking up to that illusion right now, and we are stepping into the fullness of our union with Jesus. I just declare right now, Father, that we are abiding in the vine, and we have ears to hear, and we have eyes that see what the Father is doing. And we are synchronized in our movement, Father. We are synchronized in our motives. And I thank you, Father, that we are doing what you are doing in the earth as your body. And what you are doing is expanding your government. You're expanding your rule. I thank you that of the increase of your government, there is no end. And so we step into this expansion, Father. We step into our assignment. We step into the reality of all that Jesus has finished. And we are not controlled, Father, by the world system. We are not controlled by our five physical senses or our analytical mind. No, we are led by the Spirit. And Father, we are doing the same works that Jesus did and even greater works. Father, I thank you that provisional miracles follow this word. I thank you, Father, that we too are getting out of the boat and we are walking on water. We are walking on the material realm and we are stilling storms and we are cursing lack. And Father, we are stepping into the abundance that belongs to us in Christ and that is already inside of us because that's where the kingdom resides. So thank you, Father, there are miracles in our mouths and that we are speaking to mountains. And so I bless this podcast. I bless everyone that's going to be listening to it. And I thank you for signs and wonders that follow it, Father, because we are believers. And so I bless our time together and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So awesome, you guys. We are back. We are back with part two of Kingdom Economics. And I'm excited about this series. I think that it is time for the body of Christ to arise, like I said in my prayer, in the fullness of our union with Jesus and govern, right? Govern the earth with the authority of Jesus Christ and his name. And so we are going to kick off. We're just going to jump right in today. We're going to kick off with our foundation scripture, which I introduced last week. And so I'm going to pull it up. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so let's go over there right now. And it is, we're going to start reading in the foundation scripture is verse 12. But I think I'm going to start reading today. Oops, let me get in a different translation. I'm going to go into the Passion Translation. Let's go there. Let's start reading in verse 9. All right, here's what it says. This is why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all of his lovers. Verse 10, which is actually the correct reference foundation, where we start with our foundation scripture, it says this, but God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. Verse 11, after all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. Verse 12, foundation scripture, it says, "For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us." Let me read that again. "For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us." Well, you guys, this is good news, right? We have received the Spirit of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have been placed inside of Christ, and we have access to all that God is, all that God has, and we, because of our union with Him, it all belongs to us now. It all belongs to us. And that is good news, you guys. We are in a different system. We are in the kingdom of God. We are in Christ. And as a result of that, it means that everything that heaven contains has already been provided. It's already been lavished upon us. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, because God sees us wrapped in Christ. Right? As Jesus is, so are we in this world. And this is a reality, not just for our identity, you guys, which it is a powerful reality for our identity and who we are, but it is a powerful reality for what belongs to us. We have an inheritance. Jesus is the heir of the world. He is the lawful owner of all things. And that means because of our union with Him, we are joint heirs with Him as well. You are royalty. You rule and reign in Christ, seated in heavenly places right this very minute, regardless of where you're seated in the natural realm. We are interdimensional beings, and we have been called to live not by the five physical senses and the systems of this world, which are material systems, but we have been called to live in the kingdom of God, in the invisible realm. And we are called to govern matter and to govern the material realm with new creation realities, with the unseen reality of heaven. And so there really are two systems, right? There is the world system, which is governed through scarcity and fear and truly human wisdom and human knowledge, and governed by material reality and the things that we can perceive with our five physical senses. It's governed by toil. It's governed through earning. It's a merit-based system, right? And then we have the kingdom of God, which is ruled by faith. It is ruled through our union with Jesus. And it is not a material-based system, but it is a spiritually-based system. It is an unseen reality. It's the reality of God. It is the reign and the rule and the government of God. And we have our citizenship. Our true citizenship is in the kingdom of God. We are in this world, but we are not of this world, right? We rule and reign from an unseen kingdom that resides in us. We live and move and have our being inside of God, and God lives and moves and has His being inside of us. And so we are called the body of Christ for a reason, right? We are the material component of the divine. And yes, Jesus is the head, but we have a part to play. We are to live in union with the head, and we are to move as Him. We are to operate as Jesus in this world. You see, there is a different perception that accompanies our new creation identity, right? We don't just have five physical senses, but we also have five spiritual senses. We have spiritual ears and eyes and a sense of smell and a sense of touch. And what did I miss? And taste, right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. So we have five spiritual senses and we have five physical senses. And when Jesus walked the earth, all right, He was not just operating as a man living in a material world. No, He was operating as the Son of God in a place where heaven and earth were both accessible to Him, right? He perceived beyond the natural realm. He could see what the Father was doing, and He knew what the Father was doing in every situation that He faced. And He again and again and again overcame material circumstances, whether that was anything that had to do with the curse as it related to sickness. Well, Jesus brought healing. Where there was lack or there was a need for provision, Jesus brought provision. All right. He didn't operate by the limitations of the material realm, and he did not operate under the circumstances that he found himself in the material realm, right? No, he took authority over storms and stilled storms with a word, right? He gave instructions to the disciples to, you know, after they had fished and caught nothing all night, to go ahead and let down their nets again. And they brought in a great catch of fish. He sent Peter one time to go pay their taxes with money that he found in a fish's mouth, right? So this was a supernatural economy that Jesus was operating from. He lived in the supernatural. He performed miracles. And he also sent his disciples out to do the same. He sent them out without money, without food. And he said, just go. And as you go, preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, heal the sick, raise the, you know, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. He said, freely you have received, now freely give. So he was training his disciples to do the exact same thing that he was. And before he left, he said, now go. All authority and all heaven have been given unto me. Now you go. Go and expand the kingdom. Preach the kingdom. Continue to preach the kingdom. And signs and wonders are going to follow you. Right. And so miracles were a normal part of Jesus's existence. And I just want to start out right here up front in part two, saying that miracles are a normal part of the kingdom of God and the economy of heaven. Right. Why? Because the economy of heaven operates in an unseen reality. It requires the manifestation of something that is unseen. It is a higher level of jurisdiction. It is the jurisdiction of the unseen world. It is the jurisdiction of heaven. And we know that God created everything that we see with words. And so primarily we govern in the government of God, in the kingdom of heaven, in the economy of God with words as well. So last week I started doing a little bit of a compare and contrast between the world system and the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And so I am going to kick that off again in part two, and I'm going to go a little further in this because I think it's really helpful to understand how these two systems, how the world system and the kingdom operate as complete opposites, because we have been trained in a material reality. We have been taught from really the youngest of our existence that what we see is all there is. We've been taught to rely on our five physical senses. We have been taught to rely on our intellect. We are trained in our minds in school, and there's no supernatural school, right, that kids are sent to understand the way that the unseen realm is what spawned everything that we see, and that there is a unseen kingdom of God that heaven is right now, that heaven has been released and that it resides inside of human beings. And so we have to go to kingdom economic school. We have to go to supernatural school so that we can understand that we do not just live in a material reality, and that what we can see with our five physical senses is not all that there is. So let's hop in here a little bit and let's talk about the world system versus the kingdom. All right. Last time I said that in the world system, we serve money. All right. And I said in the kingdom system, that money is a servant. Okay. And Jesus in Matthew 6 said, no one can serve two masters. You will either love one and hate the other, or vice versa. Right. And so money is meant to be governed, or it will govern. And I said this really, I mean, coming into March in our word of the month, the word of the month is governance, right? And so in the kingdom of God, you are the governor. You are the master. In union with Jesus, you're not a master in and of yourself, but you in fact have the authority of Jesus, right? Who is the highest authority in all reality, right? Jesus is Lord. I mean, literally Lord. And there is only one Lord. And so when we live in union with Jesus, right, we are to be the Lord over the economy. We are to be the Lord over money. And these are completely different systems. I mean, most of us are taught from a very young age that we grow up, we go to school, and then, you know, we either get a job after high school or we go on to college. But the whole point here is, right, we are getting an education so that we can earn a living. And so the world system is all about earning a living so that you can make money. and so that you can make money so that you can live, right? So we earn our money in the world system. But in the kingdom, there is no earning of anything. Everything in the kingdom is freely given, and it's already been given, and it is given as a gift, right? It is given as a gift through our union with Jesus. As he is, so are we in this world. And so therefore, we are joint heirs of the kingdom. We are sons of God. We are royalty. We are divine offspring. We are the children of God. And so it is by birth. It is not through earning. It is by association. It's by the family that we were born into. We were born into, we are a divine offspring, and we were born into a royal family, right? And as royalty, we have an inheritance that comes from our Father, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we aren't earning our keep in the kingdom of God. No, we are stewarding what already belongs to us in union with Jesus. And so this is a powerful distinction between the world system and the kingdom of God. Right? We are partakers of the divine nature of God. We have been born from above. We are from a holy seed, which is Jesus Christ. And so you are divine by your very nature. And your inheritance is not earned. You were born into it, right? But there's another aspect of this that has to do with us not earning. And it's the fact that we are also the bride of Christ, right? And because we are the bride of Christ, well, guess what? We are married to the King of Kings. And so what belongs to Jesus also belongs to us. So this inheritance that we have as kingdom citizens, as the body of Christ, as sons of God, comes through, number one, our birth, being born again in Christ, and also through our marriage, by being one with Jesus through our marriage. And so you do not earn your assets when you're married to a rich person, right? No, they come because of your marriage. And you don't earn your inheritance in your family, right? No, it comes through a gift. So there is no earning in the kingdom of God. And our association with Christ is everything, right? It's what gives us the legal rights to all that heaven contains. And it is also by marriage, right? So we legally have access to everything that God is and everything that God owns. And guess what? God owns it all. And there is no earning at all involved. It is simply a state of your name, right? You have the name of Jesus. You have the name above every name, and you have become a joint heir of all that name represents. Okay, so it is not a kingdom of earning. It is a kingdom of inheritance. It's a kingdom of already owning something. You're not working to get it. You are establishing it from the place of ownership. Amen. So you are an owner, a joint heir, a joint inheritor of the kingdom of God, right? Also in the world system, you know, even what I just said, that has everything to do with the fact that in the world system, which is a system where we are earning everything. Why? Because we are separate from God. So the world system operates from the illusion of separation from God. Right? This is up to you. This is where toil enters in. This is where you are your own provider, right? God is not the provider. It's up to you. This is steeped in by me energy, meaning by me consciousness, meaning that if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. It's your responsibility and it is your job to get a job and provide for yourself so that you can eat. All right. You are the source of your provision. But in the kingdom of God, God is the source of all provision, and you live in union with him, right? And there is no earning and there is no independence. There is no separation. It is a dependent system, right? It is where we live the same way that Jesus lived and operated in his earthly ministry. Jesus was the blueprint of how a son of God operates. And there is no independence in the way Jesus operated. And there is no separation in the way that Jesus operated. And in the kingdom of God, there is no independence in the way that we operate. And there is no separation in the way that we operate, right? I talk about this scripture a lot. In John 5:30, in the voice translation. Let me just pull it up because this is one of the best pictures that I know of in scripture. And I really love it in the voice translation. I use this all the time. It's a real foundation scripture of my life. But let me read this to you. It says, this is Jesus says, I have not ever acted and will not in the future act on my own. I listen to the directions of the one who sent me and act on these divine instructions. For this reason, my judgment is always fair and never self-serving. I'm committed to pursuing God's agenda and not my own. In another translation of this, it'll say something like, you know, of my own self, I can do nothing. And so this tells us that even though Jesus Christ was the incarnation of God himself, that Jesus also operated completely dependent upon the Father. He literally just listened. He listened to the Father's instructions and he followed those instructions. So operating in the kingdom of God is a place of union. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Well, guess what? You and the Father are one. And Jesus said of his own self, he can do nothing. Well, guess what? In the kingdom of God, of your own self, you can do nothing. There is no independence in this system. It is literally a system of hearing and doing. It is following the instructions of the Father moment by moment, day by day, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. This is an intimate communion that we have with the Father. This is an intimacy kingdom. It is one where we can hear the Father, where we can see what the Father is doing. Why? Because we're one with Jesus. And as Jesus is, so are we in the world. So if Jesus is one with the Father, we're one with the Father. If Jesus could do nothing of himself, then we can do nothing of ourselves. If Jesus just heard what the Father was doing, followed those instructions, and that's how we are to operate. And when we operate the same way, well, guess what? Our judgment will be just and never self-seeking. And we can stay committed to the Father's agenda as well. And we can know the Father's agenda in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, whether that is a need for provision, whether that is a need to bring peace into a situation, whether that is a need for a miracle of healing, regardless of what the seen realm is presenting to us, through our union with God, we can get a strategy. We can get instructions and we can actually perpetuate the kingdom of God and manifest heaven on earth in the same way that Jesus did over and over. And this is the way that we're designed to operate, the same exact way that Jesus operated. Now, in the kingdom, we are also designed to govern, right? In the world system, we're designed to strive, right? We have to work hard. We work by the sweat of our brow. It is toil, right? We are seeking provision. It says in Matthew 6:33, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added unto you. But the verse before that in 6:32 says, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. I mean, they are Gentiles, people that aren't living in union with Jesus and don't know their inheritance, are seeking and striving after what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat, right? All of the things that Matthew 6 talks about. But in the kingdom, no, we have an agenda, which is the kingdom, and all of these things are provided for us. And so there is no striving. We aren't striving to provide for ourselves. No, we are simply governing the material realm in union with Jesus. And so governance is an aspect of what it means to be an heir of God. Governance is our role. We are here to be the ecclesia. We are here to be the body of Christ. And we are here to propagate what is already true in heaven. We are here to manifest the reality of heaven, the reality of the new creation here in the earth, right? That's why scriptures tell us that whatever we bind on earth, Matthew 18:18, whatever we bind on earth must be what is already bound in heaven, that whatever we loose on earth is whatever has already been loosed in heaven. There is a legal aspect. There is a governance aspect to operating in the kingdom of heaven. And what this means practically is that lack is illegal. Lack there doesn't exist in the kingdom of heaven. And so therefore it is illegal to exist in the world. And that is why we see Jesus, for example, cursing a fig tree, right? He took authority over lack wherever he found it. When there was a multitude to be fed and there was a lack of food, right? Jesus governed that situation. He took the fishes and the bread and he blessed them. In other words, he was saying, multiply bread. in the beginning, when God, you know, blessed Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Right? So blessing is an invocation of multiplication. And so he blessed that bread and it began to multiply. The fish began to multiply. And there was such an abundance that there was leftovers, right? 12 baskets. They had to gather of what was left over just by Jesus speaking a blessing over what they did have, right? And so many times we come into a situation with lack and we don't think to bless what we do have. Right? We get enamored with lack. We get intimidated by lack. We think that the lack in the material realm is the actual, you know, truth that we have to deal with. And so we go to, you know, natural resources like, you know, the fish and the loaves, and we see how much we've got. And we're like, we don't have enough. In fact, that was the test that Jesus gave his disciples, right? And Philip is like, well, we don't have enough money to go buy bread and fish for all these people. But it also says that Jesus knew what he would do, right? Why? Because Jesus was operating from a different reality. And Jesus understood the power of blessing, the power of our words, right? If God blessed Adam and Eve in the beginning to be fruitful and multiply, right? Well, we are to be fruitful and to multiply in every area of our life. Increase is an attribute of the kingdom, whereas scarcity is an attribute of the kingdom of this world. And so in the world, we have to have money to buy things. But in the kingdom, we have to have words to multiply things. The blessing is very, very powerful. I mean, when's the last time that we have just blessed what we do have, right? And commanded it to multiply. But again, this is just a picture of how we have been trained to operate in scarcity and been trained to come under the illusion of the material realm being all that is available to us. We have lost our revelation of the power of our words, and we have lost the revelation that just because it looks like there's scarcity, that scarcity is actually what has to govern the situation. No, we are governors of scarcity. We are governors of abundance. This is the abundance that Jesus talked about when he said that I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. In one of the translations that I love to read a lot, let me read John 10:10. And this is the Passion. It says, I've come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. And beloved, I just want to say that the blessing is very, very powerful. And so when we find ourselves in a situation where we are in lack, well, number one, we need to understand, just like Jesus, what to do. Jesus knew what to do. He didn't look at the treasury and see how much money he had. No, he said, the Father, I'm doing what the Father says to do. And he told me to tell everybody to sit down and simply bless what they did have, right? So words, the blessing, and governance is how we operate in the kingdom. Right? We are, the world system is, I said this, is managed by lack. It puts us into survival mode, right? But in the kingdom, it is about abundance and is about rest and peace, right? It's about maintaining the place where we recognize that everything has already been provided. So therefore we can rest. And every strategy of God is not about getting something to us that doesn't exist. It's about overriding material reality with the reality that of what exists in the unseen. And so there is an overlay that happens. There is a multiplication that happens when we are operating as governors in the kingdom from the place of rest and peace. How many of you remember the story about, right, Peter toiling all night and catching nothing? I think that's such an interesting story because Jesus, you know, it says, you know, they toiled all night and they caught nothing. Well, isn't that just a picture of the world system? Like no matter how hard you work, you can never get ahead. Like it goes out as fast as it comes in, right? It's just law. We can never get ahead. But when Jesus said, let down your nets for a great catch, you know, the catch was so abundant, right? That it scared Peter. It says he was seized with alarm in the amplified version of that scripture. For me, I like to think of it like a scene from the Twilight Zone, right? Where did these fish come from? like they just all of a sudden appeared in their nets, and it was so many they had to gather other boats, and it's like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, just fish and fish and fish. And I mean, Peter just went, like, was seized with alarm, it says. And then he tells Jesus, away from me, for I'm a sinful man. Like, isn't it interesting that abundance confronts the things inside of us that say that we're not worthy, right? It confronts whether we're living as an heir and a son, or whether we are living as a slave that has to earn everything. See, Peter was accustomed to having to work hard to catch his fish, but Jesus just at the word, this happened. I mean, at Jesus's word, Peter walked on water. See, the word of God, the rhema of God that comes to us produces supernatural results. That's why living in union with God, hearing those instructions, operating the way that Jesus operates always results in supernatural outcomes, right? And so we are to live not by toil, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Man does not live by bread alone, right? No, we live on the words that God speaks to us, and then we follow the leader. He speaks, we act. He gives the instruction, the head gives the instruction, and the body goes into motion, right? When our head tells my arm to raise, like it just does it, right? Raise my arm. My head tells my arm to raise. It just raises. Well, it's the same way as we operate in union with God. God gives the instruction and the body does the moving, right? And so we are to live in that place of seamless operation with the head, with the instructions of the mind of God. And we have the mind of God, you guys. We have it because of our union with Jesus. All right, let's keep going. I talked a little bit about this one earlier, and I talked about the fact that we are royalty and that we are heirs. But let me contrast that with the world system. Why? Because we are orphans. We are slaves in the world system, right? There's no inheritance. We have to earn it for ourselves, and we are in survival mode, okay? Let's talk about that the world system operates by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil versus the kingdom that operates by the tree of life, which is Christ. Okay, we know about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It means that we are independent judges of good and evil. It means that we have an independent judgment capacity that comes from our five physical senses, all right? There's an independent nature in the kingdom, in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It means that we have an independent meaning maker, if you will. And here's the way it typically works, right? We receive information from our five physical senses. Okay, so we get the facts from the five physical senses. There is not enough food for everybody. Okay, but in our independence, and when we start to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what happens is we start to associate what lack means, what this situation means. And we begin to judge the situation. And we see this with the disciples, right? Philip goes and says how much money he's got. He says, we don't have enough to feed all these people, right? And so we begin to analyze. We begin to reason. We begin to think about natural solutions to the natural problem. And we do all of that, by the way, independent. We begin to judge the situation. We begin to judge solutions. And we begin to come to the conclusion that we're in big trouble because there's not enough, right? And so we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We eat of this place of independence rather than, first of all, not even evaluating the circumstances based upon our five physical senses, right? When we look with our spiritual senses, okay, we don't only just see the natural problem, but we see the spiritual solution at the same time. Do you know that you can actually operate with a consciousness of the kingdom of heaven and with a consciousness of abundance in the face of lack? You can operate with the reality that the tree of life is always bearing fruit and that increase is normal in the kingdom of God. And you can look beyond the physical realm and you can see into the spirit. You can see what the Father is doing. You can see supernatural strategies. You can get instructions on what to do. And you are not intimidated by lack because you recognize that what you see is not all there is. And so there's an elevated perception when you are operating without the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? You've left the place of independent judgment. You've left the place of of deciding what this means until you've consulted the Father. See, Adam and Eve were never designed to operate as slaves to their physical senses. No, they were designed to operate as though heaven and earth were one, which they were. And they are again, because Jesus has reconciled all things to himself. And so there is no separation anymore between the material and the spiritual realm. And so we must get out of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and come into this place of union, come into this place of awareness that Jesus is within us, and recognize that the spiritual realm is real. And it is the realm that the solution to your problem is going to come from, right? Einstein said it this way. He said that you cannot solve a problem on the same level of consciousness that created it. And what I want to say is that kingdom consciousness, not sin consciousness, not scarcity consciousness, not separation consciousness, but yet union consciousness, kingdom of God consciousness, kingdom, new creation consciousness, right? There is a higher reality. There's a higher perception of what is available to us in any circumstance. And so being able to perceive that is a part of our inheritance in Christ. And being unable to perceive that is a part of the curse. It's what actually happened to Adam and Eve when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the first place. So Jesus has come to restore sight to the blind. He has come to restore the perception of the unseen realm to the blind. And so we have the ability to see the unseen. We have the ability to see provision that is spiritual. It isn't material yet, but it is spiritual. And if you will ask the Holy Spirit for an inspired imagination of the solution to the problem that you find yourself in, well, the Holy Spirit is going to operate from a higher level of understanding. There's going to be a perception that the Holy Spirit has of the situation. There's going to be a judgment of the situation that's coming from the mind of God that is going to be a higher way than the kingdom of this world. Why? Because God's ways are higher than human ways. God's thoughts are higher than human thoughts. And so you have access to the perceptions of Christ, okay? That is what it means when it says you have the mind of Christ. It's a different way of perceiving. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of evaluating, right? It's a discerning of reality. It's not a reasoning or an analyzing of reality. No, it's knowing something by the Spirit of God. It is revelatory. It is information that you didn't learn. It is information that is revealed. It's revealed knowledge. It's revealed information. It is rhema. It is the word and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And that is how, what's happening when we're operating in the gifts of the Spirit. We're getting a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, right? We are prophesying over a situation. We are operating in the Holy Spirit's power to work miracles in that situation. And it is a completely different reality and a completely different perception and a completely different tree that we are eating from when we are eating from the tree of life, eating from the words of God, eating from who is Jesus, right? The word of God. Jesus is our substance. Jesus is our source. Jesus would say, all the time, I have meat that you don't know about to eat, right? I have bread to eat that you don't know about. He talked about living water, right? There is a different place that we come for our provision and for our substance and is our source, right? God is the source, right? That's why he says man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father, right? The words of the Father are our provision. The words that God speaks are the fruit of the tree of life. And as we digest those, if we abide in his word and his word abides in us, we will ask whatever we want and it will be provided, right? So we are abiding in the words. We are hearing these words and we are not judging independent from the Spirit of God. No, the Spirit of God is operating in us, through us, as us. And now we are moving as the body of Christ to see provisional miracles, to see whatever the kingdom of heaven provides in the place of a need or a problem. So completely different ways of operating, completely different trees that we are connected to and abiding in when we are operating with kingdom economics. All right, we're getting close to the end here, and I still have quite a few of these to go through. And thankfully, we have several more episodes to go through. And I'm really just comparing and contrasting, you guys, the world system and the kingdom of God. And really, my heart in this and the heart of God in this is that you can come back to these episodes and that you can listen to them. And it's like an alarm clock going off and a wake-up call coming out to you and waking you up to the reality of the seen realm, waking up your perception as sons of God, waking up your mind to the mind of Christ, helping you recognize that you are not independent, that you are a dependent of God himself, and that there are kingdom solutions to whatever problem you find, and that the word of God is the only thing that you're lacking, the wisdom of God, and that you can ask, you can ask for wisdom. You can ask for the strategy. You can say, Father, what are you doing in this situation? What is your agenda? What are your instructions? What would you have me do? And you can move in alignment and you can move synchronized with the Father's agenda and with his heart. And you can move as the body of Christ and execute the will of the head in any situation that you find yourself. And you can operate as me. When I say as me, I mean that I am, your I am is God's I am. And so now you are living in union, you are living expression of God, and the words that you speak are no longer your own. The actions that you take are no longer your own. You are moving in him, as him, and he is the one that will work through you. This is where God is now doing the work using your body, using your frequency, using your words, using your body as technology, as the material component to work miracles, signs, and wonders and manifest the Father's will here on the earth. You know, God's will is not automatic, right? God's will flows through the branch. God's will flows through us as his temple. That's why we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We give him our faculties. We give him our words. We give him our minds. We give him our imaginations. We give him our schedule. Everything that he has that we own belongs to him. And so we just say, it's all available for you, Jesus. So what is it that you're accomplishing now? What is it that you're wanting to do? And frankly, when we're in that place, we do operate in rest and peace because we know that it's already finished, that it's already been provided. And now we are just intimately communing with the Lord and learning to operate exactly how Jesus operated, right? That's when he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, right? I do the lifting. I do the hard work, right? You provide the body. And Jesus said, this is the unforced rhythms of grace. Like, watch how I do it. This is how I live. And this is freely and lightly living, where it's not your responsibility. It's just simply your body. It's simply your personhood that is now being offered to God to operate through. So this is a kingdom of union. This is a kingdom of abundance. And this is a kingdom where we are abiding in the vine and God is expressing himself through us as us. And as a result, we are the miracle in the situation. We are the conduit and the vessel that God uses to manifest heaven on earth. So beloved, kingdom economics, right? I'm not going to be giving you a ton of principles in this series, right? It's not about sowing and reaping. It's not about a principle of tithing. It's not about a principle of, you know, that makes you a good steward. Like somehow these principles operate independent from the person who you are to embody, right? No, it is not. There's not rules here, right? This is a relationship. This is a flow. This is a state of being. This is a state of a way of operating where God is flowing through you as you. And as you do this, right now you are governing material reality. Now, how does this operate in your normal day, everyday life? Well, it operates through union. It operates through the consciousness of Christ in you as you. It operates through activated and enlightened spiritual senses. It activates through revelation and through seeing and hearing and being one with God. So, beloved, that is part two of kingdom economics. And
You know, if you are in the place where you're like, well, Shalice, this all sounds great, but I don't know how to practically implement this. Well, I encourage you. We just ran a special for Elevate. I'm sure if you really are wanting to get into that, you can send us an email and we'll extend it for you. But I am doing the Elevate coaching this afternoon, and it's a really powerful topic this month, you guys. It's about unpacking God's agenda and how to understand God's will, God's way, God's why, God's when, and God's work, right? Which are the five components of God's agenda. And so practically being able to walk through this is something that we practice. We practice it every single day because the supernatural is not just caught, but it's taught. And Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples teaching them how to operate in kingdom economics. He spent 3 years teaching his disciples how to do the same works that he did in greater works. And so if you want to dive deep into this, my best place for you to do that is an Elevate. That's the mentorship and coaching program that people can step into so that you can learn to operate supernaturally. Obviously, you can listen to this over and over again and get this from the Holy Spirit. But if you want more support and you want a community that is going for this together, then I encourage you to go on over to Shalice.com and sign up for Elevate. It's an affordable way, you guys, to get the coaching and the mentorship you need to start living supernatural and experience more of the Christ in you. So that's my little shameless plug here for today, but that's it. We will see you next week for part 3. And until then, you guys, just listen and do. Listen and do. Do not come under the illusion of separation or the illusion of scarcity, right? There's a supernatural solution. There is a kingdom solution to every single problem that you will ever, ever face. And you are not designed to be governed by your circumstances. You are designed to govern them. So God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Shalice's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit Shalice.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalice's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at Shalice.com and watch Shalice's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.